Judges chapter 14. Okay, Judges chapter 14. And we kind of hit this a little bit. Actually, we're going to go ahead and pick up in verse chapter 15 because we made it through most of that. Judges chapter 15 and verse 1. But it came to pass within a while after, in the time of harvest, that Samson visited his wife with a kid. And he said, I will, and you can go back and see where he met this wife. He says, I will go in unto my wife into the chamber. But her father would not suffer him to go again. Now, I'm gonna point this out to you. I want you to read verse 14. I mean, verse 1. Let me get this straight. And also, I got to fix my glasses because I can't see out of them. So in verse 1, I want you to listen to this because I want to see if you notice this, okay? So this wife wasn't somebody he should have married to begin with. It caused problems, okay? But watch how it worked out. But it came to pass within a while after, in the time of wheat harvest, that Samson visited his wife with a kid and said, I will go into my wife, into the chamber, but her father would not suffer him to go in. Now, why is Samson visiting her? Got any idea? Come on, you have to have an idea. Why is he visiting? Well, what is he asking her to do? He says he wants to go into her chamber. So what is that? I mean, it's the Bible and we're all adults. That's her bedroom. Okay, so what he's asking, he's not showing up because he wants to be a responsible dad. He's not showing up because he wants to be a responsible husband. I mean, and why would God go through all of that and tell us that, right? I mean, why would he tell us that? Why would he go through the effort of sharing this with us? You know, it's like, that's probably not something I need to know about, right? You know, and he's putting it in the Bible. Well, remember one of the problems that Samson has, and is going to continue to have. In the next chapter, you're going to read about Samson going into a prostitute's home. And directly after that, he meets Delilah. So what do we know so far about Samson and women? It's a problem. Okay? He has let his flesh get out of control. All right? He's not thinking about other people in his decisions. He's just thinking selfishly at this time. I mean, where was he all the way up to this point? And when he gets there, this is what he asks, to go into her chamber. Now, the reason why the dad says no, well, if he says, hey, can I just talk to my wife? Can I just see my wife? No, he wants to go into her chamber. And the reason why the dad says no is you'll look here in verse 2, and her father said, but the father would not suffer him to go in. And her father said, I verily thought that thou hast utterly hated her. Isn't that great? That's the opinion that he left the dad. Yet when he shows up, he thinks he's going to fix it with a goat and say, you know, I mean, that's not good. Now, I want you to know this too. Because of the grace of God, yes, Samson had a problem, but God still used him. Now, why hasn't God done something about this problem? And it's been a problem so far up to this point. Why hasn't he done something about that? Because if God were to give anybody in this room what you deserve, nobody would last very long. And that's the grace of God. Why did all of a sudden, when at the end, when he told Delilah and he got his hair cut, why did God then allow him to be overtaken by the Philistines and not now? Because when he got his hair cut, he could no longer do what God needed him to do. Up at this point, even though his testimony was a mess, he was still able to go out there and defeat the Philistines. He was still able to fight for God. But after he got his hair cut, he couldn't do that anymore. And then so God gave him over to the Philistines. When his hair grew back again, he was now in it, but that didn't come through a period of, while his hair was growing back, his heart grew closer to God and got right. Okay? But the dad said here in verse 2, And her father said, I verily thought that thou hast utterly hated her, therefore I gave her to thy companion. Now that's a little bit cold, right? He said, basically he's saying, I gave her to your friend. Well, this is just going to get bad multiple ways. Is not her younger sister fairer than she? Take her, I pray thee, instead of her. And Samson said, according to them, concerning them, now shall I be more blameless than the Philistines, though I do them a displeasure. And Samson went out and caught 300 foxes and took firebrands and turned tail and put a firebrand in the midst between two tails. And when he had set the brands on fire, he let them go into the standing of the corn of the Philistines and burnt up both the shocks and also the standing corn with the vineyards and olives. So he's saying, okay, I'm going to show you. So he goes out and catches 300 foxes. Now, that's not an easy thing to do unless they just had an overabundant. I mean, could you imagine? Wouldn't you like to know how many foxes were in a square mile back then? I mean, that was a chore to go out and catch 300 foxes. And then to sit down there and tie their tails together. And you would have to do it one by one, right? I mean, you're not going to get them to just sit still. So he ties one, puts a firebrand, puts straw and stuff in there, lights that straw. And, of course, the fox are going, hey, my tail's on fire. And they just run right through the corn. And as they run, all the corn gets burned up. 300 times. I mean, there's nothing left, right? You know? And then he goes on to say this. Then the Philistines said, who hath done this? And they answered, Samson, the son-in-law of the Timnite, because he had taken his wife and given her to his companion. So he acted because of what happened, and he burned down all their corn. And the Philistines came up and burnt her and her father with fire. Whoa. So now they're mad, okay, because of what they got Samson mad. So now these people are mad because all their corn's gone. So they go and they burn her and her father. Now you understand all this started because one guy married a woman he shouldn't have married. She wasn't a believer. And look at how that ended. That's sad. You know, I mean, and this guy's supposed to be, you know, Samson's supposed to be a believer. But now I can't, and I know sometimes, guys, you can't ignore this. This is a real story. Yet he still has his strength. In just a few minutes, you will see this same man take a jawbone of a donkey and kill countless numbers of people. You know, that signifies the grace of God. It never means that God was okay with this, because he's not. Never ever look at somebody that does wrong and think that perhaps because they've gotten away with it in our mind that it's okay. No, the chicken came home to roost. Now this lady's dead and her father's dead. What a mess. Could have been avoided by him just listening. You know, the Word of God, instead of looking at rules. It's not like rules at a company. If you look at the Bible from the aspect of a heavenly father warning his children, if I told you there was a rattlesnake in a box outside that door, that, you know, you need to stay away from that rattlesnake, I'm sure most people would go out here, except maybe a couple of people that would want to just go kill it. You'd have no problem with me warning you about that. You know, you get up in church and you tell people about sin and they get mad at you. Well, why in the world would we get mad at God for warning us of the behavior that happens when you do wrong? So therefore, go the other way. Why would that be offensive? We ought to be up there, you know, hey, thank you for sharing that with me. I don't want this outcome. Thank you. If our young people can look at it as and look at God and say, hey, thank you for those 10 commandments. Hey, thank you for teaching me how I need to live. Thank you for warning me about what happens if you marry the wrong. Thank you. I appreciate that heads up. I don't want to end up like that. Okay? So let's go on. And Samson said unto them, though ye have done this, yet I will be avenged of you
and after that I will cease. And he smote them hip and thigh with a great slaughter, and he went down and dwelt in the top of the rock of Edom. Now, no doubt he did a lot of this out of anger. All right. Now, again, I'm going to give you something a little bit confusing. But this was the enemy. This is the Philistines. It's the enemy that God raised him up to fight anyways. Okay. Verse 6. Then the Philistines went up and pitched in Judah and spread themselves in Lehi. And the men of Judah said, "Why are you come up against us?" And they answered, "To bind Samson are we come up to do to him as he hath done to us." So now he's got a warrant on his head. People want him. Then 3,000 men of Judah went up to the top of the rock. That's a lot of men for one guy. Okay. Then 3,000 men of Judah went to the top of the rock of Etam and said to Samson, "Knowest thou not that the Philistines are rulers?" So he went to this little town. This little town's getting scared, you know. And, you know, these men come to him and saying, "Hey, we came after Samson. We want Samson." So these group of people, look what it says. Then 3,000 men of Judah went to the top of the rock of Edom and said to Samson, "Knowest thou not that the Philistine are rulers over us? What is this that thou hast done unto us?" And he said unto them, "As they did unto me, so have I done unto them." So Samson went to this little group of people. The Philistines are mad. They come to them and said, "Hey, why are you hiding? You know, why are you hiding Samson? We came here to bind him and take him away." Well, they go to Samson and said, "Hey, why are you involving us in this?" You know, and he said, "I just did to them what they did to me. So watch how they fix this." And they said unto him, "We are come down to bind thee, that we may deliver thee into the hand of the Philistines." And Samson said unto them, "Swear unto me that ye will not fall upon me yourselves." And they spake unto him, saying, "No, but we will bind thee fast and deliver thee into their hand." So 3,000 men come up because they know the story of this man. And they said, "Look, we don't want a mess here. We've come to tie you up and take you down." And Samson looks at him. His fight's not with them. He says, "Promise me that you won't fall on me." And they said, "Okay." So Samson let them tie him up. All right? So they're going down the mountain. They got Samson tied up. The Philistines see that and they think, "Huh, our lucky day." Okay? And when the Philistines came unto Leah, the Philistines shouted against him, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and the cords that were upon his arms became as flax that was burnt with fire. Now, that's not a physical thing that happened. That is a supernatural thing that happened. His strength was not his own. God made the cords like that, okay, immediately. That was burnt with fire, and his bands loosed from his hands. And he found a new jawbone of an ass and put forth his hand and took and slew 1,000 men therewith. Have you ever thought in your mind what it would take to kill one guy with a jawbone of a donkey? Now, unless that guy just stood there and let you do it, that'd be quite a chore. But to do it as many men as he had to do that day, God was there with him. May I tell you something? It'll be very humbling as we go through life and we know we do things to disappoint God. Yet he still lets us have a job. He still protects our family. He still watches over our kids. And we don't deserve it. From what you know about Samson right now, does he deserve God helping him? No. But he is. 1,000 men dead. With a jawbone of a donkey. All right? And it came to pass when he had made an end of speaking that he cast away the jawbone out of his hand, and he called the place Ramathilei. And he was sore athirst and called on the Lord and said, "Thou hast given this great deliverance into the hand of thy servant, and now shall I die for thirst and fall into the hand of the uncircumcised." But God clave a hollow place that was in the jaw. Now, you know, whether Samson was a big guy or not, I kind of think with Sean, he's probably not very impressive. But he is thirsty. He just killed 1,000 people. How much water do you think you would need to quench your thirst?
it's not just that, or maybe donkeys back then were just really big, right? Okay? But it's probably more than likely the fact that the water just kept coming. Because if God, because it says, it's not a science, you're not going to find a scientific reason for the water being in the jawbone, or else he wouldn't say God clave a spot in the jawbone. He wouldn't say that. So God supernaturally got involved here, clave a place in that jawbone, and in, you know, if you look at it, I mean, how much water could that hold? He'd need more than that. Can you just imagine God up in heaven just keeping it going, saying, hey, you got enough to drink now? Knowing that there were some obvious things in his life that he didn't have right. And that just shows you about the goodness of God, okay? But God clave a hollow place that was in the jaw, and there came water thereout. And when he had drunk, his spirit came again, and he revived wherefore he called the name thereof, whatever, I can't say that really easy, which is in Lehi unto this day. And he judged Israel in the days of the Philistines 20 years. Now, we'll continue on. Then went Samson unto Gaza and saw there a harlot and went unto her. Now, you don't need me to explain to that. That's not good, right? He shouldn't be doing that. You know, so all of this has happened. He gets a victory, and what does he do? I mean, God just gave him water, and he goes to the harlot. There's no, at what time can you let your guard down against the enemy? Never. And do you know some of the easiest times to fall is in some of the greatest victories you'll ever have because you get relaxed. We got an evil world out there, and you got to keep your eye on it all the time. You got to question their motives. You got to question their desires all the time. And you and I got to make sure we're in the right place. Because he just came off of a victory. And sometimes, could it be possible that maybe some of those victories got to his head? Maybe he took some credit for some of those victories that maybe he shouldn't have taken credit to. And now he's going out to a harlot, and he's sleeping with this harlot. The Philistines know that he's doing this. If you'll look here in verse 2, and it was told the Gazites, saying, Samson has come hither, and they compassed him and laid wait for him all night in the gate of the city, and were quiet all night, saying, in the morning, when it is day, we shall kill him. And Samson lay till midnight, and arose at midnight, and took the doors of the great city. Now, how did he know that there was anybody out there? The only way he could know that is for the Lord to tell him that. And he took the gates of the city and the two posts and went away with them, bar and all, and put them upon his shoulders and carried them on top of a hill that is in Hebron. That is, you know, they've if you look at commentaries, it'll tell you what they think, how big this was. Certainly bigger than what any man can carry. Okay? Now, the strength he had always came from God. Why didn't he? And you've heard me use this illustration before. When he got up to the top of that mountain, if he would have hit his knees, hasn't it ever just dawned on you? Even that you know that you are in a dark place, but over here God is being kind to you. Do you know he didn't get any immediate trouble for this harlot thing? What if he would have right then repented of what he did and changed? What if right then he would have really appreciated God not letting the Philistines get him in the, and he should have? Would you have been mad at God for God taking him out right there? Am I the only one that reads this and waits for lightning? Right? I mean, he's sleeping with a prostitute. And he's supposed to be working for the Lord. At this moment, you should see lightning come down, right? Okay? No lightning. He said you just had the grace of God. God should have left him there with the Philistines, but he didn't. But then this man did not appreciate that. He did not take any warning from it. He did not learn any lessons from the grace of God there. He dropped the gates, walked off. Never thought about, God probably shouldn't treat me like this. man, I need to do, this may not, I mean, it'll get to the point, and it did, where he did have to pay for that. But had he stopped right here and said, no more women, had he stopped right here and said, I'm going to listen to what God said to begin with, and I'm not going to marry somebody that's not a believer. Had he stopped right here and changed that, he wouldn't have gone into Delilah, because why? What nationality was Delilah? He was a Philistine, which he wasn't supposed to be messing around with. Could have changed that all right here. Every message that we hear, including me, and I've heard 100 of them, you know what they are? All moments of grace that God gives us an opportunity to learn something from it and do about face. Every one of those that we pass on does something to us. We get used to conviction. We get used to God being good to us. And it takes a major, major derailment from there to get your attention. So drop on down to verse 4. And it came to pass afterward that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek whose name was Delilah. Right after that, you've got the Delilah thing. Okay? And the lords of the Philistines came upon her and said unto her, entice him and see wherein his great strength lieth, by what means ye may prevail against him, that we may bind him to afflict him, and he will give thee every one of us, and we will give thee every one of us 1,100 pieces of silver. So he goes to Delilah. The Philistines go to Delilah. Now, why did they go to Delilah? Because she was a Philistine. So they're thinking, where does her loyalty lie? You know, the world's loyalty will always lie in the world. They don't care about you. No, not one thing. Do you know the government of the United States sometimes, they like to pretend they care about us, right? Have you ever had anybody in the government of the United States, did they tell you to wear a seatbelt? Why? Because they like to think that they actually care about your safety. They put labels on food. This is what goes in them because they're concerned about your safety. You even have the Consumer Safety Act. Because they're like, well, we're here to take care of you. Have you ever had a single person in government ever ask you about your soul? Not a single one of them cares what happens to you in eternity. Why? You can't vote when you're dead. You know? I mean, there's not... I mean, you know, if eternity is forever and they actually care about me, don't you think at some point they ought to have a dialogue about that? They don't, because they don't care. You're dead, you're gone, that's the end of that. Right? Well, the Philistine, she was a Philistine. She's not going to care about Samson because she was never on that side. The world's never been on our side, and it's never going to care about us. And we just got to understand that. It'll never care about us because it's not on our side. And here, when they're doing that, you know, she can be bought really easy. She hears this money, and she says, hey, you know, I'm going to take this, because she wasn't loyal to him to begin with. Now look at this. And Delilah said unto Samson, tell me, I pray thee, wherewith thy great strength lieth, and wherewith thou mightest be bound to afflict thee. And Samson said unto her, if they bind me with 7 green withs that were never dried, then shall I be weak and be as another man. Then the lords of the Philistines brought up to her 7 green withs, which had not been dried, and she bound him with them. Now there were men lying in wait, abiding with her in the chamber, and said unto the Philistines, said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he brake the withs as a thread of tow is broken when it touches the fire, so his strength was not known. So he easily got out of that. He told Delilah, listen to how easily you can get deceived. He told Delilah, okay, here's where my strength is. You do this, I won't be strong anymore. Of course he lied to her. Then the Philistines come, try to get him, and he just breaks free. Okay? Verse 10, and Delilah said unto Samson, behold, thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Tell me, I pray thee, wherewith thou mightest be bound. And he said,
if you bind me fast with new rope. So he's doing it all over again. She's saying, hey, you know, you told me this, doing it all over again. All right? And in the morning, the same thing. The Philistines are on you. He gets up, breaks the rope, off he goes. All right? So if you look down here to verse 15, and she said unto him, how canst thou say I love thee when thine heart is not with me? Thou hast mocked me these three times and hast not told me wherewith thy great strength lieth. And it came to pass when she pressed him daily. How did the devil get Samson here? How did he get him? He didn't give up. And if you read these words right here, it's something that you can't forget. Delilah pressed him daily. I mean, day after day after day after day, she said, I thought you loved me. I thought you care about me. And after being, do you know, guys, what should Samson have done the first time he realized this woman was not on his side? What should he have done? He should have got out of there. Okay? But the longer you and I are not, we are not, what does the Bible say we should do when sin comes our way? It says to flee youthful lust. We are not made to stay around sin. That's why when you're watching TV and something dirty comes on TV, you change the channel or shut it off. You don't watch it because that's not what we're told to get away from temptation, not stick your head in it. You're told to get away from it. When you see the evil, you get out of there. You take charge and you remove yourself from that situation. He didn't do that. He thinks he's strong, but he's not stronger than the devil. And the devil just keeps pushing him, keeps pushing him, keeps pushing him. We got to understand, guys, we can't go up against the devil. We need to flee. And where do we run to? Dad. Right? There, that's where you flee, you get out of there. He should have. What did Samson do when, what did Daniel do when Daniel was in, or not Daniel, Joseph. What did Joseph do when Joseph was in this very same situation? What did he do? Did he stay around? No, he got out of there. That's the reason why the Bible says to come out from among them and be as separate. When we see something that we know the Bible says is wrong, we can't hang around it. We got to go. And in our lives, what that looks like is we can control the remote control. We can control the playlist. We can just shut it off. We can just go find something else to do. Okay? We can break off a friendship. We can do these things. When you see it and recognize it as evil, you get away from it. Okay? All right? And she said unto him, how canst thou say I love thee when thine heart is not with me? Thou hast mocked me these three times, and thou hast not told me wherein thy great strength lieth. And it came to pass, and she pressed him daily with her words and urged him so that his soul was vexed unto death. That's quite a wording right there. That means he was just flat wore out. Right? I mean, he couldn't take it anymore. That he told her all his heart. Guys, what does the Bible say to do with our heart? To keep it with all diligence. Why? Because that's where your life is. And he shared his heart with the world. He took the most precious thing that he had, was a gift from God. And he squandered it on the world. And then he told her all of his heart, and he said unto her, there hath not come a razor upon my head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, my strength will be from me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man. Now, I'm going to end it with this. He's done this three times. He's told her, this is what happened. She said, tell me how you get strong. Wrap me in this cord. She does it. What happens in the morning? The Philistines come. He's been through this three times. Did he just have amnesia? Did he honestly think everything that she's told him
Everything that he's told her, she's done. So why wouldn't she do the same thing now? Every time, three times this has happened. Three times he told her, this is why I'm strong. Three times she does what he tells her to do. Three times he wakes up, breaks the cords off. So, I mean, what does he think? She's all of a sudden not going to do that anymore? Do you realize how easy it is to get stupid in our sin? And when you're in it, you can't see it. I mean, it's obvious to me and you. What are we saying? No, don't do that. She's not on your side. Can't you see she's already done this three times? Hey, you know, if we could scream into history and go, Samson, no, it's a trap. Well, I tell you what, coldness of heart, indifference to the word of God, allows us to get caught in traps that we should have seen. Because the world will do that to us. And what happened to him? Lo and behold, she shaved his head that night. Can you imagine God looking down going, now that closes that chapter. Boy, I really wish he'd stay in the game a little bit better. And he had to move on. The next morning, hey, the Philistines are coming. He jumps up, and he didn't recognize what was going on. His strength was gone. And then they grabbed him. And what does the world do to you? I mean, I'm sure I'm not the only one that's ever felt the full extent of the world. You know, as far as it'll chew you up and spit you out, right? Well, we don't have time, but the rest of the story is easy. You just look at it. Then you got the grace of God. I mean, he gets abused bad. He's grinding corn like an animal, and he's repenting in his heart the whole time. Days turn into months, months turn into years, and his hair starts growing. And he says, God, give me one more time. Now, aren't you glad? No, God did let the full effects hit him for a little bit. But in came mercy and grace. And God said, I'd be proud to go on a battle with you one more time, then you can come home and fight no more. Where do you think Samson went when he died? And God in heaven receives a battered and bloody soldier for him. Because none of us deserve the grace of God. None of us deserve forgiveness. And none of us have to go through this stuff because we got a Bible. And we can look at that. I mean, if you got grandkids or kids, maybe sit down and take the story and say, hey, can you do me a favor? Read this story and give me some advice from this story. What do you think? Give me some advice from it. And then when they give you that advice, say, now look, you go live by that. Go live by it. And you'll be okay. Because he should have seen that. You know, God does not, he's not willing that any should suffer. He's long-suffering. He's not willing that any should perish. He's long-suffering. He does not get delight when a Christian falls. It breaks his heart. He's not happy about that. It makes him sad. I mean, he's up there warning us with all he's got. Dave, I gave you a Bible. Dave, I gave you preachers. Dave, hey, don't do that. Because he doesn't want to see the effects of this stuff. Right? Well, we can look at some, you know, we've been there and have stayed. I mean, I'm sure I'm not the only one that's ever stayed too long at sin. Right? And you feel that. And you're thinking, oh, man. That's up there with the dumbest things I've ever done. Then comes grace. Amen. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Father, for the truth. We love you. Thank you for the kids next door. Thank you for the lesson that they heard tonight. And Lord, I pray as we endeavor to get back to where we were with our church, that you, Lord, would use that over there to reach other kids. And then, Lord, as we continue to endeavor to pick up kids around the county, Lord, that and bring them here, Lord, that you would just protect our church and watch over it. And Lord, help us as we get the truth out. We love you. We ask this in your precious name. Amen. And I think we got a business meeting thing. And then after that, really quick, if I could see the trustees and the deacons